Now, to begin our sheer, I want you to think back, if you were alive at the time, it was definitely before I was born, but to the year 1957. You can imagine what your life was like at the time. But for the purposes of our sheer, try to think about what did life in America look at that like at that time. I know that my parents were born right around that time. And my mother is a first generation American. Both of her parents were born in Europe, while my father was third generation American. So the Jewish community in America looked as diverse as the histories of my two parents. That there was a large percentage of Jews in America in the 1950s who either they themselves had come over from Europe or their parents had come over from Europe. While there were also many Jews in America at that point that had been in America for a very long time. And it is within this context that the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote a famous letter. The Lubavitcher Rebbe is addressing the Jewish community in America in 1957. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe decides to delve in this letter, into the section of the Haggadah that discusses the four sons, the Arba Banim. And the Rebbe decides, in order to make a very strong point that he comes to at the end, to compare each one of the four sons to one of the generations of Jewish people. Now, as we go through each of the generations and which of the sons they compare to, I don't want anyone to get insulted. Hey, I'm a member of that generation. Is he generalizing about me? Rather, the Lubavitcher Rebbe was trying to explain a reality in the majority of a generation in America at that time. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe delves right in and he says, who is the wise son? He says the wise son is the first generation that came over to America. These are the European-born Jews who had strong Jewish backgrounds. They had witnessed and they grew up in a life of tradition. And they came over to America strong in their beliefs. Their belief was unshakable. This is the generation that we hear of that used to work all week only to be fired on Friday when they said they would not be able to come into work on Shabbos. They were that first generation in America. Their commitment to Judaism was unshakable. Those that were survivors that had come out with their faith were so strong in their beliefs once they came to America, and they were ready to take on whatever they found in this new environment. However, then there is the second generation, and that is compared to the wicked son. That this was the generation that was born in America, and they looked around and they loved what they saw there. They saw a new society that was filled with so much possibility, so many opportunities for them to take advantage of everything around them, and many in this generation rejected their Judaism. The Rebbe says that was the second generation. However, although they were rebellious, they strayed possibly from their Judaism in order to assimilate into America at that time. They still had parents who were survivors. They had parents who had come over from Europe. They saw what traditional Judaism looked like, and they had grown up in that environment. Then the Rebbe says, we come to the simple son. The simple son is that third generation. The generation whose grandparents came over from Europe. I can put myself in that generation. And this generation is simple in that they grew up under their parents' roofs. Their parents were of that second generation, the wicked son, that had rejected Judaism. However, they knew that every year they came to the Seder, and this is what they were used to. They know what all the symbols are. They know what the traditions are, but they don't know much about them. They recognize everything without truly understanding most of what is going on in front of them. However, they still have some semblance of a connection. The last generation, though, is that fourth generation. They are the She'eino Yodea Lishol, the generation that does not even know how to ask. Why is that so? This is the generation that no longer knew their great-grandparents. They didn't know the tradition of Europe. They didn't know that strong, unshakable generation that had built up the community in America. Rather, they only knew their parents, who barely knew what was going on when it came to Judaism. And even their grandparents, they knew their grandparents had turned away from religion. But other than that, they had no connection to Judaism. So they come to the Seder, but they don't even know what to ask. They are sitting there with so little exposure that they are not even able to ask the question. And it was into this analogy that the Lubavitcher Rebbe introduced a novel point. The Rebbe said, we have these four sons. We have the wise, we have the wicked, we have the simple, and we have the one that doesn't even know how to ask. But the Rebbe says, unfortunately, in our generation, we have the fifth son. We have the fifth son that's not even sitting at the Seder table, who has so little connection to Judaism that he either does not even know it's Passover or knows it's Passover and has no Seder to be at, or literally no desire to be at a Pesach Seder. And the Rebbe says our responsibility in our generation is not to sit back and say, look, majority of the Jewish people are at our Seder. Look, my kids are here, my grandkids are here, my parents are here, my grandparents are here. And forget about that Jewish neshama that is not sitting with us at the Seder table. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote this letter as a charge to the Jews of his generation. And he said, until every Jewish son and daughter is sitting together with us at this Seder, our job is not complete. And we know that this fed right into the Lubavitcher Rebbe's take on the entire world, that he thought that until every Jewish neshama was connected in some way to Judaism, our job was not complete. Now, this is a beautiful explanation of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, something that we're really able to hold on to understand. But does it really make sense in context? Is this really what the passage of the four sons is talking about? Does this even make sense to make this analogy, to pull out from somewhere in the text this comparison to multiple generations sitting around a Seder table, one is connected to another? And on the one hand, you could say, of course it makes sense. Hashem specifically gave us this example of sons. We could have received the example of there were four rabbis, there were four teachers sitting around a Seder table. But Hashem specifically gives us this analogy of sons. And what I want to explore tonight is, does this idea of the Lubavitcher Rebbe make sense? Were we really meant to understand that this was a family sitting around the Seder table? And if so, if we were purposely given this analogy of sons in order to relay some sort of messaging to us, then what is that messaging? What are we meant to draw out of this text? So to begin, I want to look, the source sheet is in the chat for anyone who would like to follow along, but I will be reading the sources out loud. So even if you don't want to check out the sources, you can definitely follow along either way. If we look into the Haggadah, let's go over what exactly is this passage of the four sons. And I know that as I was reading this, I began to get finally excited for the Pesach Seder, that I feel like sometimes there's this rush before Pesach, and it's not until you actually sit down and look at a piece of the Haggadah that you're like, oh, Pesach's really coming, and not in the stressful, let's clean our house sense, in the exciting, we'll be sitting around the Seder table sense. So this passage of the four sons begins, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenatan Torah La'amo Yisrael Baruch Hu. Blessed is God, blessed is He, blessed is the one who gave Torah to the nation of Israel, blessed is He. Keneged arba banim dibra Torah. The Torah speaks to four different types of sons. Echad chacham, one who is wise. Echad rasha, one who is wicked. Echad tam, one who is simple. Ve'echad she'enu yodei lishol, and one who is unable to ask the question. Chacham, mahu omer, the wise son, what does he say? Ma ha'idot v'hachukim v'hamishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu etchem. What are these rules and regulations and laws that Hashem has commanded you? Ve'afata amorlo, kehilchot ha-pesach. The Haggadah instructs us, what should you answer to the wise son? You should teach him the halachot, the laws of Pesach. Ein maftirin achar ha-pesach afikomen. What specifically should you teach him? That you are not able to eat after you taste from the afikomen. That is the chacham. And as we're going through this, I'm sure 100 questions are going to jump out at everybody. And there is so much we can unpack from here, but we are not going to be nearly able to touch everything that there is in this passage tonight. So keep your questions in mind and make sure to discuss them at your Seder. Rasha, Mahu Omer, the wicked son, what does he say? Maha avoda hazot lachem. What is this work that you're all doing? Vil lachem vilo lo. He has specified to you and not to me. Vilafi shehutzi atzmo min haklal. kafar bi'ikar, because he has separated himself from the community within his statement, kafar bi'ikar, he is considered to be a complete heretic. Ve'afata haket chinav, you should blunt his teeth. Ve'emorlo, and you should say to him, ba'vorza asah Hashem, li b'tziti mimitzrayim. Because of everything we are doing, because of this, Hashem saved me from Egypt. Li v'lo lo, Hashem saved me, he didn't save you. Ilu hayasham, if this son would have been there, lo hayanigal, he would not have been redeemed. Tom, the simple son, mahu omer, what does he say? Mazot, he just says, what is all of this? V'amarta alav, you should say to him, b'chuzek yad hutzianu Hashem mimitraim mibit avadim, you should say to him the most basic understanding of what we're doing here tonight, and that is, we are expressing our thanks to God that God took us out with a strong hand from the land of Egypt. And lastly, v'she'inu yodei lishol, the one who does not know how to ask, at pitachlo, he won't even ask a question. So at pitachlo, you have to open up the conversation for him. Sheneemar, as it says, v'higadetel lebincha bayom ha'hu le'mor, you should tell over to your son on this night. Ba'avor zeh asah Hashem li b'tzeiti b'mitzrayim. Because of this, Hashem saved me from Egypt. But where is this passage found? As we said, the Haggadah was put together by the Baal Haggadah, the author of the Haggadah, and it is compiled from different pieces of text throughout Tanakh, throughout all of the Torah, and throughout the Talmudic literature. So the piece of the Haggadah, this piece about the four sons, where does it come from? And it is a compilation of four different psukim from throughout the Torah that discuss different times that our sons will ask us a question. The first is in Sefer Devarim, and this is the source for the Chacham. It says, a direct quote from the Chacham, Ma ha'idot v'ha'chukim mishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu etchan. It quotes us the exact question of the Chacham, V'amarta lebincha, you should say to your son, Avadim hayinu leparo b'mitzrayim v'yotzianu Hashem b'mitzrayim b'yad chazaka. Now, interesting to note, the answer that is given to the Chacham is quite similar, not to the answer given to the Chacham in the Haggadah, but to the answer that is given to the Tam, to the simple son. Where is the source for the Rasha? It is in Shemot Perek Yedbet. V'hayak yamru aleichem b'neichem ma ha'avodah hazot lachem. It says in the Torah that when your son will ask you, what is this work to you? V'amartem zevach pesach hu la'Hashem. That you should tell him that this is the Karban Pesach, this is the Pesach offering, asher pesach al batei b'nei Yisrael b'mitrayim, because Hashem passed over our houses when we were in Egypt. Also interesting to note, this answer seems much more similar to the answer given to the wise son in the Haggadah, not to the wicked son. Where is the source for the simple son? In Shmuel Perek Yud Gimel. V'hayaki yashalcha bincha machar lemor mazot v'amarta alav b'chuzek yad hutzianu Hashem mimitraim mibit avadim. This is a direct quote to the simple son, question and answer together. And lastly, in Shemot Perek Yud Gimel, we see the commandment of the Higadetel Lebencha, that you should tell over the story to your child. And that is the exact quote from the passage of the She'eino Yodei Lishol. So now we see where it comes from. There are many different iterations of this text throughout history. It is quoted both in the Mechilta, which is one of the Midrashim, and it is also quoted in the Gemara Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud. And in both of those places, the text is slightly different. And again, you can analyze every word that goes into this passage. But the broad question that I want to ask is, why sons? We get that in the psukim, it gives over and it says, when your son should ask. So we can ask the question all the way back, not only in the Haggadah, but all the way back in the psukim. Why is this analogy of sons given over to us? And the first approach I want to look at is that of the Ritva. He is a commentator. He usually comments on the Gemara, and he also has a commentary on the Haggadah. And the Ritva says, "Keneged arba banim dibra Torah, ki kol kach ratzal kayim inyan tzipor yetziat mitrayim bizarinu. Hashem so greatly wanted us to be able to carry out this commandment of giving over the story of yetziat mitrayim to our children. Shehefrish lahagid v'lasaper l'kol ben v'ben kifi ma shehu." Hashem so greatly wanted us to give over the story of the Exodus from Egypt to our children that Hashem did the hard work for us. What does that mean? Hashem knows that there are so many different types of children. There are children of different ages. There are children with different learning strengths. There are children with different learning styles. There are auditory learners. There are kinesthetic learners. There are visual learners. And Hashem says, I am going to make it so easy for you. I'm going to break it down for you. This is how you should tell over the story to a wise son. And this is how you should tell over the story to a wicked son and a simple son and a son that doesn't even know how to ask. So the Ritva is saying, Hashem gave us this analogy, and the Baal Haggadah continued this language of children in order to give over this message to us, that Hashem is instructing parents, he is giving over the guiding manual to the Seder and saying, if this kid is at your Seder table, tell it to him in this way. If this kid is at the Seder table, tell it to him in this way. And this relates to the message that the Lubavitcher Rebbe gave over in his letter as well. The Rebbe says, how are we going to get that fifth child to the Seder if they feel like they have a place there? If the Haggadah and the Seder were only structured to speak to the wise son, then what place do the wicked, the simple, and the She'eino Yodei Lish'ol have at our Seder table? The Rebbe says we have to approach each person who is not currently at that table in a way that is going to bring that in. For one person at the Seder, they want to sit around and they want to have an in-depth discussion of the halachot of Pesach. So the Haggadah instructs us, what should you say to that son? And the Rebbe says, for some people, an intellectual debate on the basic tenets of our religion is going to be what's going to bring them to that Seder table. But the Rebbe says, there's also the She'eino Yodei Lish'ol, the child who needs to be told the most basic level of what's happening at the Seder. And he says so too with that fifth child. There is going to be the person on the street who, if someone just simply approaches them and says, it's Pesach. Did you know it's Pesach? Do you have any matzah? Do you want to try some matzah? Now, I don't know if matzah is necessarily the way to bring people into Judaism. But let's just say that works for some people. That's what they need. They don't need the intellectually stimulating debate. They need a warm, caring person to approach them and to bring them closer to Judaism. So this message from the Ritva that works with our idea from the Lubavitcher Rebbe is that the Haggadah is differentiating for us how to approach all of the different children and all of the different types of Jews. This is very much directly connected to one of the integral messages of the Pesach Seder. And what is that? We know that when God gave us the Ten Commandments, the first of the Ten Commandments is, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzisicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt. Now, if you think like a Jew who has just left from Egypt, if God was now going to introduce himself to you, shouldn't he give you a new piece of information? The Jews that were standing around Har Sinai, all they knew about God was that God had taken them out of the land of Egypt. Why did God choose to reintroduce himself to them as the God who took them out of Egypt? Shouldn't God have said, I am the God who created heavens and earth? Wouldn't that have made more of an impact on this generation? And the Maharal, who was a Jewish thinker who lived in Prague, the Maharal gives an interesting idea. He says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, rotze lomar she'ani Elokecha b'prat. Hashem wanted to tell them, I am not just some general God who created heavens and earth. Rather, shehu yisparach shemo chal al ha'uma ha'nivcharet b'prat. Afkihu Elokei Hakol. Hashem says, when I created the world, I became the God of the entire world. However, when did I become specifically your God? God to the Jewish people, God to each Jewish person? It was when I took you out of Egypt. I chose you as my specific nation, and I became your personal God. At the point of leaving Egypt is when we developed our direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it is that point that we emphasize at the Seder. That we emphasize that at the Seder, we are not just thanking some God of the entire world who we have nothing to do with. We are thanking a God who directly impacts our lives, beginning from the time that he took each and every one of us out of slavery in Egypt. So the holiday of Pesach is one of celebrating, creating our personal connection with God. And this idea of the Ritva, specifically focused on this passage of the Arba Banim of the four sons, carries on this message and says to us, this is the night that not only the entire Jewish people entered into a relationship with God, Rather, each and every one of us at this point of leaving Egypt has created our own personal connection with God. And this is why we continue on in the Haggadah and we say that in every generation, each person needs to see it as if they themselves left from Egypt. And it also touches on this point that we must each view ourselves as not only having left Egypt, but as having personally entered into this relationship with God. So that is the first approach. The approach that this is an instruction manual to parents. There are different types of kids. There are different types of Jews. And this is how we should relate to each and every one of them. So bringing the imagery of a son directly draws our attention to this angle in which we can look at this passage. However, I believe that there is a second approach that will really change the way that we look at this passage. And also, I think, will really change the way that you look at our role on Pesach and at the Seder in particular. When we read through the Psukim, I usually don't make sure to tell you where each and every source came from, but I emphasize the Sefer and the Perek in which each of these passages can be found because they are found out of order. That when we are brought down the order in the Haggadah, the order is wise, wicked, simple, and she'eino yodei lishol, the one who is unable to ask. However, if we look back at the psukim that came from the Torah, the passage of the wise son really is found last. The passage of the wicked son is found first, followed by the she'eino yodei lishol, and lastly by the tam. So the question can be asked, why are we brought these psukim in this specific order if it is out of order of the way that they are found in the Torah? The first answer is that of the Abu Jarham. The Abu Jarham was a Spanish rabbi and commentator in the 1400s in Spain. And the Abu Jarham says, Seder Mikraot Eino K'tiv Lach. He says, it's not written in some random order. Ki shal chacham hu k'tov b'parsha ve'et chanan, v'shal rashash v'shal tam v'shal she'eino yodei lish'ol k'tuvim b'parsha bo'al paro. Ach, shal she'eino yodei lish'ol hu k'udem l'shal tam. V'hayalo l'tfos Seder HaMikraot. He says, the passages are not brought to us in order. They are also not brought completely randomly, because if we were just going to copy them from the Torah, we would have brought them in the order in which they were listed. He says, however, he wanted to give them a little bit of respect. He wanted to list them according to their level of wisdom. So the wise son clearly comes first. And following him is the wicked son, who is not unintelligent, he has just been misguided in his ways. Umitoch zadon libo marshia, that he is wise as well, possibly just as wise as the wise son, but he has been led astray by his evil ways. V'acharav tam, and following him is the simple son, and following him is the she'eino yodei lishol, the one that really has no wisdom. See, Abu Jarham gives us a very simple answer. It took all of the psukim, it had all of the examples that we had before us, and he placed them in the order of their wisdom in order to give credit where credit is due, that the wisest son should be listed first out of respect. Okay, that's fine. Not too interesting. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, gives us a second approach. He says, V'chacham, hu talmid chacham, v'hahipoch mimenu, hu mi she'inu yodei lishol. He says, no, what they should have actually been listed as is one character with their foil, the one who is the opposite of them. What does that mean? The Chacham, the wise son, should have been listed next to the She'eino Yodei Lishol, the one who is unable to ask, because they are opposites of each other. The Hatam, who ha'holech b'tmimut, the simple son is the one who is not only simple but pure, he walks with purity. The Havcho hu ha-Rasha, and the opposite of him is the wicked son. The Hayatzarich lomar b'seder hazet should have really been written in this order. It should have been written each with their pair in order to really show us the contrast. Ve'amar Rasha achar ha-Chacham ki lo ratza l'sayim b'Rasha. However, they interrupt this order and they place the pair of the Rasha and the Tam in the center, surrounded by the Chacham and the She'eino Yodei Lishol, to give us a different structure in which we can compare them. But we didn't want to end off with the Rasha, so we didn't do just a simple pair by pair, because then we would have ended off with the Rasha, and you don't want to end on such a negative note. You'd rather end off with the one who can't ask. That leaves room to some ambiguity. Was he just too young to ask? Does he not yet have the skills to ask? It's not as negative as ending off with the Rasha. And also, a semi-interesting idea. But I believe that these two answers lead us into the third answer. And the way they do so is that they shed light on the fact that, again, as we discussed before we began the shiur, the Haggadah was put together by a human being for a very specific reason, that everything that is structured the way it is for a purpose, that the Baal Haggadah didn't just jot down each of the places in the Torah where it discusses sons and just throw them into the Haggadah for us to pick apart. There was a reason behind it, and there is an order that we are meant to understand. And on a broader level, we are meant to understand that there is some connection between these sons. And it is with that that we are going to delve into the last source. What was the connection between these four sons? Let's step away from just thinking of them as individuals. Let's set the stage. You have cleaned your whole house for Pesach. You have scrubbed everything. You have bought the food. You have bought more food. You have bought more food and more food. Then you have cooked and you have cleaned some more and cooked and cleaned some more. And now the entire family has sat down to the beautifully set Seder table. And around this table, the Haggadah is introducing us to the entire family. There is the parents, we assume. And then there is the Chacham, the wise son, who is sitting right over here. And then there is the wicked son, who is sitting right over there. There is the simple son, and he's sitting over there in that corner. And there's the She'ino Yodei Lashol, the one who is unable to ask, and he's sitting right over there. Now, as we enter into this last source, I want you to imagine that scene. We're not talking about four theoretical characters that are out there somewhere in their own worlds. We're thinking about a family who has all just sat down to the Pesach Seder. What are we meant to understand from that image that is given over to us by using the word sons? And this last approach is also from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He clearly thought about the four sons a lot. V'keneged arba banim dibra Torah, b'inyan v'higadeta lebincha. The Haggadah is giving us insight into the mitzvah of v'higadeta lebincha, that you should tell over the story to your children. Echad, chacham ve'echad, rasha ve'echad, tam ve'echad she'ino yodei l'shol. V'samach ba'al Haggadah leben rasha tichef leben chacham. He said, the Baal Haggadah specifically placed the wicked son next to the wise son. Zotomeret, why do we need to focus on this? Gam leben rasha yish tikva. This teaches us a number of points. That for the wicked one, all hope is not lost. And this one we're going to go through the rest in English just because I think it's much more clear to understand. All is not lost for the wicked son. Hashem has arranged it that he has been put into a place where he has the wise son there who can guide him. So there is the hope that by placing the wicked son sitting next to the wise son at the Seder table, the wise son will rub off on the wicked son. And he'll say, come on, I know that whenever we sit around as a family, you always try to bring down the conversation. You always try to ask the tough questions. You get everyone all riled up. We're just hoping that the wise son will give that little nudge to the wicked son and say, come on, for one night, can you just get into the mood here? Can we just talk about the Pesach Seder? So he is placed there in order to give us hope for the wicked son. However, the wise son should not also say, what do I care about helping the wicked son? The Chacham shouldn't say, that's not my responsibility. He's just my brother. I'm not a parent. Let him do whatever he wants. For all of Israel is guarantors for one another. Kol Yisrael arivim tevazeh. The wise son can't cast off this responsibility that has been given to him because it's his brother. We're telling him, look at your brother. He's right there next to you. You see the way he's inclined. You see how he directs all the conversations. Take a little bit of responsibility, even just tonight. See where your brother's headed and try to pull him back on the right path. And the wise son should be mindful and say, remember, son, it's your obligation to be the influencer, not to be influenced by your brother. Your questions sound scarily similar. The wise son separates himself from the community. He says, what are these laws that God has commanded you? But he is not rebuked for it. But the wicked son is. And we're drawing his attention and we're saying, be careful, make sure you are the one influencing, make sure you are a role model for your brother and that you do not get influenced by your brother. And back to the wise son must always remember that sometimes people who are so smart, their gates are harder, their evil inclination is even greater. So we say, just make sure you don't get influenced by your brother. And if this is the approach that we take with the wicked son, that we specifically put the wicked son and we entrust the responsibility to guide him on the wise son, how much more so for the simple son and the She'ino Yodei Lishol? The way I picture it is that the wise son and the wicked son are the two oldest children. And the Tam and the She'ino Yodei Lishol are on the younger side of the family. And the parents are saying to the wise son, it's your responsibility. Make sure that the wicked one has a positive experience tonight. And know that whatever messages you give to the entire table and specifically to your brother will be heard very strongly, not only by him, but by your younger two siblings as well. That we have a responsibility, that we must notice what brought the wicked son to stray from the path. And we must make sure preemptively that that doesn't happen to the Tam and the She'ino Yodei Lishol. And that must also guide how we speak to them, the answers that we give to them. So that even if they are simple or they don't know how to ask, they don't end up chas v'shalom like the wicked son. That we make sure that the wise son is the one guiding them. And the Rebbe says that these are the family dynamics that we must keep in mind at that Seder table. That the choice of the word ben, of son, was not coincidental. And he says it's not only like we described in the first source, that it is a guide to parents. Rather, it is giving us a very strong message. Look at the complicated dynamics at that Seder table, having four very different types of children, and now expand it to the Jewish people. Each of us is one of those children. Each of us, maybe at different points in our lives, are the wise son, are the wicked son, are the simple son, or the one who does not even know how to ask. I can think for myself, sometimes it's when I'm in different situations, when you're surrounded by different types of people. You take on one of those roles. And we can look at ourselves within the broader context of the Jewish people. Sometimes we feel like we're surrounded by other Jews and we're clearly the wise ones. Or sometimes we feel like we're clearly the wicked ones. Or maybe we're so out of our comfort zones that we don't even know what to ask. And the Rebbe is saying, remember that each and every one of us has a responsibility. Think of it on a small scale within a family unit, because that is familiar to us. When I use the word ben, son, it brings up imagery of connection, of relationship, of already having a direct connection to one another that we, like they say, you pick your friends, you don't pick your family. You're directly connected to them and it's natural to be connected to them. And he says, apply that idea to the entire Jewish people and recognize that we are all one of these Arba Banim. We are all one of these four sons. We each have these different roles and they always are changing. And we must therefore keep in mind each of these responsibilities. Are we influencing in a positive way? Are we bringing back in a nurturing way those who we see as the wicked sons? Are we making sure as the wicked sons that we are open to being directed by some of our brothers? Are we the Tam? Do we feel like we're simple and we don't quite know everything that's going on around us? And how does that impact our view of the world? And the Rebbe says, most importantly, is to view our roles as the wise son. That we are the ones that are meant to influence others and to impact others, but also to accept others and to say, I shouldn't cast off my responsibility and says, who cares what he does? I don't care if he's even at this Seder table. We must say, Kol Yisrael Arivim Zeh Bazeh. Everybody is responsible for one another. And therefore, the Torah gives us this imagery of the sons. And we can apply this back. We glossed over in the beginning that this passage of the Arba Banim of the four sons is connected to Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Blessed is God, blessed is He. Baruch Shenatan Torah La'amo Yisrael Baruch Hu. Why is it connected to this seemingly unconnected sentence? Because the Rebbe is teaching us that only once we look at all of the other Jews around us as our brothers, and we take upon ourselves that responsibility to include everybody, to embrace everybody, to feel responsible for the experience of our brother, only then can we truly praise God And can we truly internalize all of Torah? Because Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah, the Torah speaks to all four sons. The Torah was not created only for the wise son or only for the wicked son. Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah, the Torah speaks to all four types of sons. Everyone is included within the Torah. And only once we include everyone in that family and in the broader family of the Jewish people, can we truly have a full understanding of the scope of Torah. Now let's connect it back to the original idea of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, of the letter that he wrote in 1957. He says, recognize that there are these four sons. And then he called upon us to say, there is the fifth son. He's saying, don't just stop by including everybody who you see at the table. He said, in our generation, our job is even greater. He says, you must look not only at the complicated dynamics around the table and say, Dayenu, it's enough with everybody who's here. You look around at great uncle this and great aunt this and cousin this, and how do we all fit into one cohesive Seder in which everybody gets along? He says, look outside of your Seder. Who has no connection? Who doesn't even know it's Pesach? And who knows it's Pesach and is still traveling in India or out at a movie theater on Seder night? He says, think about that fifth son. Don't only work to include the people who you see directly in front of you. Step outside of yourself. Step one step further this Pesach and say, how can I include everybody at this Seder table? He says, it's not just enough to stretch a little. For this mission of including every Jewish soul, we have to go even further. Leave your house. Bring someone in on Seder night. You might think, I can include everyone from here to here. He says, stretch further and further. Everyone has to have a place at that Seder table. So the message that I think we can take from this dissection of the passage of the Arba Banim is that there are so many ways to understand it, whether we understand it about how to relate to God in our own individual way and how we can guide others to relate to God in their own individual way, or we take the second message and we say, how can we make sure that in our worldview, everyone has a place, not only at our Seder table, but in our lives? And Amir Tashem, this year, may we be able to internalize this message and look at the Jewish people and say, after a year of so much separation, both physically and mentally from one another, how can we come together this Pesach and find it in our hearts to include everybody, not only who's in front of us, but even those who are not yet at our Seder table? And Meretz Hashem, may we be able to take to heart these messages, and may this year on Pesach, may we be celebrating the Seder all together as one united Jewish people in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Thank you so much for joining tonight. If anyone has any questions, you're welcome to unmute right in the chat.